The most random show with the most inconsistent schedule is back yet again, and what it took was pharmacists being in the news yet again for the wrong reasons. Basically, a documentary came out showing certain special pharmacists committing fraud, crimes, basically masterminding their own robberies, so it looks like narcotics were being taken from them on camera, when really they were the ones profiting off of them, off the streets. And as removed as I feel from that crowd, as straight arrow as I am, I still feel that I, too, am propagating the opioid crisis. I am making things worse, not better. And here's why. For the past couple of years, I have been basically turning a blind eye. When a patient who looks like they are not using the medications as intended comes into the pharmacy asking for narcotics. Now, I'm not saying that if I see a fraudulent prescription, I'll still dispense it. No. In fact, yesterday I just came across one and stopped the whole process. Like, I called them out on it. What I mean is, when everything checks out legally and it's up to judgment to decide whether this person should have narcotics in their possession or not, I've been very lenient. And there's no excuse for it, and I'm not trying to come up with any justifications, and I want to preface all of this by apologizing to everybody. But at the time, it really feels like giving it out is the best option. Here's what I mean. If you've ever had a loved one or friend or family who is a smoker, and you feel like there's no way of convincing them not to smoke, and you try to force them to smoke, like taking their pack away, for example, snatching it out in between their fingers. Yeah, you might stop them that time, but you know deep down that you have not helped them, because eventually annoyance, resentment, and deceit will come your way. They will start lying to you. They will start rolling your eyes at you. They will not be thankful whatsoever. And if you can't get a smoker to stop smoking, how do you get someone who's hooked on narcotics to stop? Just by rejecting them or turning them away. And in fact, I at the time feel like if I turn them away, they might stop by at another place, at another place, and at another place. And if they all turn them down, that's not going to stop them from getting high. In fact, that might push them towards the street, or that might push them to steal and use force to take what they essentially need. Now, reason number two is that there simply isn't enough time. And this is what I'm talking about. This is something I really want to hone in on. In the doctor's office, on average, the consultation lasts about 15.7 minutes, covering around six topics. The longest topic, the doctor will spend about 5 minutes with the patient on, and the remaining topics, 1.1 minutes. And that's in the doctor's office, a place where a patient voluntarily went to talk about something they want to talk about. And then after that, they go to the pharmacy where they have to go, not want to. They have to go to get their medication. The length of time there is much shorter, and the desire to stay there is much less. So I'm there trying to hold these patients there a little longer to convince them something that they will not be persuaded in doing, which is stop doing this to their body. I'm going to spend maybe 10 minutes talking to them, and then they're already way over their threshold of how long they want to stay in a pharmacy. So they start getting a little antsy, and then on top of that, you try to deny them their fix. They're going to feel angry. There's going to be an argument, and that argument is going to last much longer than the 15 minutes. It's going to last 50 minutes. And the problem is, at the end of that 50 minutes, they will not suddenly, miraculously, be convinced not to abuse their medications. No, they will, at most, stomp off, but they're stomping off to another place to do the same thing over again. Now, the problem is, with every minute I've used on that person, I'm taking away that minute for somebody else. And this is why I feel like there simply isn't enough time. I think another contributing factor to all of this is that the compensation model in the healthcare system that I'm in currently is still largely volume-based, which means fee-for-service, which means quotas and volumetrics and emails from the head office asking, why aren't you doing more of this? Why aren't you doing more of that? And it pressures us to spend less and less time per patient in order to fit more patients in the span of a workday. And this is true for the doctor's office too. Imagine being able to bill a patient every time a patient steps through the door. And if you can see a patient per minute, then in the span of a workday, you've seen thousands. You just become a millionaire in the span of one day. It just doesn't work. What I feel is the system can benefit if it was more of a value-based model or pay for performance. And it makes a lot of sense to me because the patients are, at the end of the day, going to you, coming to you, because they want to feel better. And it makes no sense that you aren't rewarded if your patients feel better. It just seems right. And I'm not saying it has to be 100% value-based. I'm saying there needs to be more of a hybrid, because strictly value-based models aren't without their flaws. For example, healthcare professionals that work in lower socioeconomic communities will eventually be undervalued and underpaid, and this is what I mean. Poorer patients struggle to pay for medications, follow-up care, and transportation, and often engage in behaviors or unhealthy coping mechanisms that are detrimental to their health. Which makes a whole lot of sense if you've ever stepped foot in a poorer community. The inhabitants, the residents there, are generally less healthy. Which means if we are rewarding doctors and pharmacists based off of how healthy their patients are, those doctors and pharmacists will be paid less just because they are in the poor side of town. But anyways, those things are something that we can all work on. It's a model that is imperfect, but we can work to fix it. And despite all of those flaws, I still feel like it's a better system than the system we have now. Because the only thing that is holding me accountable, that is making me more vigilant when someone comes in, seemingly intoxicated, looking for another fix, is the media coming out with documentaries and articles like how a handful of pharmacists flooded Ontario's streets with lethal fentanyl amid a national opioid crisis. What a long title. Sensationalist, yes, but not untrue. And articles that are titled, "Pharmacists May Be Legally Liable for Opioid Overdoses." These things, I don't know if someone has a hidden camera pointed at me. I don't know if I'll end up on a documentary that comes out next year. So I try to be better. But the system, I feel like, should be adjusted so that I feel incentivized, I feel empowered to help those that I want to help, like someone who is struggling to come off of pain medications. It's just that right now I just don't feel empowered. I feel like my hands are tied. I want to end this on a better note. I know that pharmacists are known to whine, and I really don't want to be a part of the whiners. So I want to leave you all with some encouragement. What I've done is I've tried to isolate myself from the system that I disagree with, by a few things. I'll give two as an example. Number one, I've consulted independently, which means
I can do things my way. If I want to spend time with you, I'll have to spend more time with you. I don't feel like head office is threatening my job if I want to spend 30 minutes with a patient talking about something that really matters. The second thing is I've taken on roles as a board of director in some organizations, one of which is a community health center that provides program-based care to a community that is riddled with opioid issues. And this is the type of stuff that makes me feel fulfilled. This is what I'm doing to counteract the feeling of hopelessness whilst I am still largely working in the system. So there are things you can do, and I encourage you to try all sorts of different things. And if you come across something that you find very helpful, let me know. I'd be more than happy to hear about it, to try it, to share it. And that's all I want to say in today's episode of the Roger PharmD Show. Again, the most inconsistent show that you will ever come across. Thanks, I'll see you next time.